President Bush this morning talked for the first time publicly about the U.S. aid response to the disaster. His comments came after speaking with leaders from India, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Indonesia.
We pledged an initial $35 million in relief assistance. We have deployed disaster experts to the region. All leaders expressed their appreciation for the hard work of our ambassadors and their embassy staffs to help the countries in need. As well, we're dispatching a Marine Expeditionary Unit, the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln, and the Maritime Pre-Positioned Squadron from Guam to the area to help with relief efforts.
President Bush is in Crawford, Texas. His comments come after a UN official suggested rich nations were stingy in their disaster response. Relief organizations around the world are rushing to help people affected by the tsunami. But in the rush to do the right thing, there is a risk of wasting money, time, and good intentions, perhaps even doing harm. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports on the challenge of providing help that's really needed.
Every disaster relief worker has a story to tell about well-intentioned but wasted efforts. Down jackets stacked on the tarmac at a steamy Bangladesh airport. Sacks of rice delivered to people with neither the water nor the fuel to cook it. Doctors donating time to a well-staffed hospital that lacks medicine and electricity. Claude Deville de Goyette headed the disaster relief program at the Pan American Health Organization for 25 years. He's seen more wasted effort than he cares to remember.
The problem is not to acquire supplies. It's a problem to be able to manage the supplies coming in.
The World Health Organization is trying to do that in countries struggling to recover from the tsunami. David Nabarro is director of emergency operations at the WHO. He hopes later today to issue the organization's assessment on just what kind of help is needed and where. And WHO has set up a communication center and clearinghouse for countries and donors.
We'd like to know what they've got on offer, and we'd like to be able to match that with what we know about the needs of hospitals or of provinces and districts in different affected countries. And we'd ideally like to be able to act like a kind of marriage broker, saying you should be sending your stuff here, or you should be looking for stuff to send there.
WHO's communication center, which was set up last summer, and countries have already begun to respond.
Today, the Italians said very specifically, we know there's a concern about communicable diseases. We want to hear from the World Health Organization what the concern is and where the needs are greatest.
This is the first time the communication center has been used for disaster relief, so some things still need to be ironed out.
I just had a call from Iceland from somebody who rang and said that the system still wasn't working properly and they hadn't received the information they want. So it's still got a bit more work to do to get it right, but we're getting there, yeah.
Disaster expert Claude Deville is headed to Indonesia and India as soon as he gets visas. He's going to be watching for problems that he's seen before. After the earthquake in Iran last year, he watched field hospitals airlifted into Bam days after the last injury there was treated. Deville estimates the $10 million spent on temporary field hospitals could have rebuilt and resupplied the local hospitals and clinics destroyed by the quake. Deville wrote an essay in a medical journal a few years ago about disaster myths. For example, the idea that bodies must be buried or cremated quickly or an epidemic will ensue. He says when aid groups have insisted on immediate disposal,
it affects the people emotionally, psychologically, and legally.
Families don't have a chance for comforting ritual. Bodies are not identified, so women can't prove they are widows. But studies have shown that dead bodies rarely spread disease. Another frequent problem in disaster relief is that international interest tends to fall off after the story drops from the headlines.
So you will see an outburst of spending for the next 3-4 months, and then you will have those people left more or less alone on their own.
Deville says the biggest myth about disaster relief is that it's not needed after the immediate crisis has passed. He estimates there are 60,000 people still homeless in Iran after the earthquake there a year ago. Joanne Silberner, NPR News.